Wait just a minute and see if I can get my helper to ring that bell. Well, go ahead. Pull down the rope. You got to pull it harder than that. Pull it all the way down. There you go. There's the school bell. It's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you have your Bible, turn it to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read Philippians 2, verses 19 through 22. And this is where Paul talks about Timothy, saying, I have no man like-minded. And we're talking about the great men and women of the Bible. And so now we're talking about Timothy. And we'll be reading that in just a moment. Now, while you're turning to Philippians chapter 2, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're studying a Sunday school lesson about Timothy that E.A. Elam wrote and documented in Elam's Notes for the Sunday Schools of September 23rd, 1923. But now let's read our text from the book of Philippians. This is Philippians 2, 19 through 22. Before I read that, I'll remind you that Paul was in prison when he wrote this epistle to the church at Philippi, and Timothy had been with Paul when he established that church there. And now, with Timothy and Paul together in that prison in Rome, Paul is writing to them. In fact, he mentions Timothy as being with him in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. But he's planning on hoping to send Timothy to them. It says in Philippians 2, 19, But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will care truly for your state, for they all seek their own glory. And, I lost my place. For they all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ, but ye know the proof of him, that as a child serveth a father, so he serveth me in the furtherance of the gospel. I've got to move just a little bit so I can see my clock better. Sorry for that interruption. Now, looking at that, let's return to Elam's notes. No man like-minded, Elam said. Timothy was with Paul in prison at Rome. He joined him in the letter to the Philippians, Philippians 1:1. Paul and Silas first preached the gospel in Philippi. Lydia and her household, the jailer and his household, and some others were the first converts. As not a few churches today, this church began among women. The church soon became a well-organized and working church. Philippians 1:1. When Paul left there, Luke, it seems, and probably Timothy, was left behind to instruct and build up this new church and to preach the gospel still to others. Luke remained 6 or 7 years, and Paul visited this church at least twice after its establishment. This is one of the best churches in the New Testament. While Paul, in his letters, preferred many serious charges against the Corinthians and some others, he mentions but few irregularities among the Philippians. He exhorts them to unity and to do all things without murmurings and questionings, and that they may become blameless and harmless. He exhorts Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. This letter was written from Rome during Paul's first imprisonment. It was sent by Epaphroditus, who had gone from Philippi to Rome carrying a contribution to Paul from the church. He hazarded his life to do this, according to Philippians 2 and verse 30. And while in Rome, he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, Philippians 2:27, and he recovered and was sent back by Paul in joy to Philippi. This letter is an expression of the tenderness, the gratitude, the thanksgiving, and love for the kind remembrance of the congregation and of encouragement and of hope to them that are in the service of God. The church loved Paul and had extended to him fellowship in furtherance of the gospel from the first day until he wrote this letter. There was doubtless great joy in the church when Epaphroditus returned and that letter was read among them in their assemblies. Every time Paul thought of the saints there, he thanked God. He also remembered them every time he prayed. He praised them for their liberality to him and faithfulness to God under persecution. He informed them how his imprisonment had turned out to the spread of the truth. He exhorted them to usefulness and pointed them to Jesus as their great exemplar. He warned them against Judaizing teachers and expressed his one purpose to serve God to the end, leaving behind all things to do so, and he exhorted them all to righteousness and a godly life. Paul hoped while in prison to send Timothy shortly unto Philippi, that he might be comforted by the good news he expected from them. We read in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 20, Paul said, I have no man like-minded who will truly care for your state. No man like-minded means this shows the genuine interest that Timothy manifested in the church and his concern for its growth. He was an unselfish and noble-hearted preacher of the gospel, seeking the peace and spiritual development of the church. Paul's reason for commending Timothy was, for they all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. That's in Philippians 2 and verse 21. Paul had been forsaken under the fire of persecution. He knew some had made merchandise of the gospel, 2 Corinthians 2:17, and we read about it again in 2 Peter 2 and verse 3. He had turned, and some had turned godliness into a way of gain, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 5, and that others had prostituted the high calling of God into occasions of serving their fleshly appetites and gratifying their vanity and worldly ambitions. While we are greatly grieved over such sins, we are forced to see that they exist today. Religious matters, in different ways, have been turned into avenues of merchandise and gain. Oh, for more Timothys! Now we read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 22, Paul wrote, But ye know the proof of him, that as a child serveth the Father, so he serveth me in the furtherance of the gospel. The church at Philippi knew the proof of Timothy. Having been tried, he was pure gold. What should a church know of preachers today before using them? As a child serves his father, Timothy had served Paul in furtherance of the gospel. As Paul had sacrificed and worked for the furtherance of the gospel, as the Philippians, from their birthday as a church until Paul in prison wrote this letter in deepest gratitude, they had had fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel. We read in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, where Paul said, I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in every supplication of mine, on behalf of you all, making my supplication with joy for your fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel, from the first day until now. And so Timothy had engaged in the same unselfish work. When many today seek not their own, but the things of Jesus Christ, and serve together in the furtherance of the gospel, the knowledge of God will begin to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea, and the church will arise and shine in the beauties of holiness and the power of godliness. Paul not only desired to send Timothy to Philippi, so soon as he should learn how this trial would terminate, he hoped to be released from prison and to go there himself. Paul would later write epistles to the young man Timothy. And one of those epistles we call 2 Timothy, the epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy. I want to read to you now from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And here's what Paul wrote. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers in pure conscience, how unceasing is my remembrance of thee in my supplications night and day, longing to see thee, remembering thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also, for which cause I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee, through the laying on of my hands. Paul wrote this second epistle to Timothy, the last one he ever wrote, during his second imprisonment in Rome, and not a great while before his death. In this he mentioned some things not recorded elsewhere, such as the names of Timothy's mother and grandmother, the falling away of some. Onesiphorus sought him diligently in Rome and found him, and was not ashamed of him because he was in chains, and refreshed him, as he had also done in Ephesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 16-18. He tells us how Demas had forsaken him in 2 Timothy 4:10, and Mark's reconciliation to him in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11, and the injury that Alexander did to him in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14. He also mentions a visit to Corinth and Miletus and one to Troas. So we read in 1 Timothy 1 verses 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul addressed Timothy with his usual salutation, and reference had been made to Timothy's being Paul's beloved child in the gospel, meaning that it was Paul who had been his instructor and had taught him and had baptized him into Christ, and continued to nourish him and help him grow strong as Timothy went with Paul on that missionary journey. Paul speaks in Acts chapter 24 and verse 14 of serving the God of our fathers after the way the Jews called a sect. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers in a pure conscience, how unceasing is my remembrance of thee in my supplications night and day. Now, when that Paul was serving God when he was as a Jew in the sect of the Pharisees, it was before he became a Christian. So he must have meant in this verse that he was then serving God before he worshiped God according to the law and persecuted the church.